Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stick and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
Kind of a surprising result. The Avalanche, with a lot of momentum of late, go out on the road after being home for five straight and lose 4-1 to the worst team in the Eastern Conference, the Columbus Blue Jackets. Well, I'll let Jared Bednar explain what happened.
The checking mentality and our mindset to check and play the right way structurally was there, you know, right from the drop of the puck. But the execution or lack thereof and the some of the decision making cost us in the second period, because that's where we gave up those chances.
Avs poured 47 shots on goal, but only got one. Not great on the power play. Not a lot of finish. Just a weird night.
Yeah. And, you know, in the offense, turnovers in the offensive zone that led to chances on the other end of the ice. And obviously, you know, NNN wasn't good enough to stop those chances. So, yeah, what was it, 47 to 25 in shots?
47 to 27.
47-27.
Yeah.
And I shot him by 20.
Yeah.
I did that math in my head right
yes,
there.
Yes, you did.
Radio math is hard.
And you didn't have to start from zero.
No. Radio math is like you can
you
get...
just do regular math.
Regular math is much easier than radio math. Radio math, you're right there with a mic in your face. In the face.
Second down.
Much harder. Much harder.
I was just at Mike Clisson. He said a 25% chance that the Broncos go non-quarterback at 12. So that means what percent do they take a quarterback?
75%.
Whoa, you are sharp. Somebody slept the Holiday Inn Express last night.
I'm on it this morning.
So do you agree with those numbers, that ratio?
I would say that it's... again, just pure speculation, because I have no idea. But if there is that much confusion, if you're telling me nothing separates these guys, then I'm going to tell you if they sit at 12, I think it's a much higher chance they take just a football player than a quarterback. I'd say over, slightly over 50%, they just go with a football player. But
what if they don't have an option? What if they don't have an opportunity to trade back? And what if their sense is that a Bo Nix or Michael Penix may actually go mid-first round? Do you think they're hell-bent on coming away with a quarterback in the first round?
No. I think that's why they're doing their due diligence. I think that's why they're sitting there saying, is there a separator with the guys that we are capable of getting? Is there a separator that says Bo Nix is head and shoulders above Penix, who's head and shoulders above Pratt, who's head and shoulders above Rattler? Are you doing all this work so that you can eliminate guys at 12? Saying there's no difference in our book.
Is it eliminating guys, or is it just waiting to be blown away? Because if you're eliminating guys, it's almost like I desperately want to come away with one of these guys.
What's gonna
and I'm
blow
just
going to
eliminate them. Okay, why not just go into this with the idea that they're all kind of, I'm not interested in any of them, and I'm going to give one of them a chance to blow
me
away.
How are you going to give a chance for any of these guys to blow you away in shorts and a t-shirt right now? Why? Because Michael Penix read a sub-4.5? Does that blow you away, Mike?
For some people, it does.
Do you think that does for Sean?
God, I hope not. Man, I hope not. I know I got in trouble yesterday because I said I demand more of Sean Payton, and a texter says, who the heck are you to demand anything of Sean Payton? Well, I'm a sports fan. I don't care. I can demand whatever I want.
Right.
I can expect whatever I want. I can have whatever standard I want. I'm a fan. It's what I want. It's what you want as a fan. It's what you want as a fan.
Right.
You over there. You can demand whatever you want. And if you don't get it, you can be unhappy. Or you're going to be a Rockies fan.
That is correct. third down.
Nuggets and Spurs coming up tonight at Ball Arena, 7 p.m. tip. I was listening to Zach Bye yesterday, and they're actually, we're playing the promo as well, saying that at this point, the Nuggets have to pick a lane. Either go for the number one seed, or basically shut people down, start resting guys, and health should be the driving force for the playoffs. If you had to pick a lane, which lane would you pick?
I had to pick one of those lanes, I'd pick go for the number one seed.
Really? That surprises me.
Why?
Because I would think that somebody who won a championship here in Denver, won two of them, that you would understand going, because I would, all right, well, maybe not. Maybe I got this wrong. So as you were going through that second year, and you guys were getting closer to the playoffs, what did you think was most important? Finishing with the highest seed or just making sure guys were healthy?
Well, our goal going in was to win the AFC and have the number one overall seed. Now, home field advantage in the playoffs, home field advantage in football is far more, it's a far yes. greater home field advantage.
Correct.
So that's important. But my fear, even taking a week off, was, are we going to come out offensively with a little rust? Even with a week off. Here's the difference, though, in these two sports. One, physically, they're not as taxing. Much easier, hockey and football. I mean, hockey and basketball, much easier than football.
Uh-huh.
And
see what
two,
you did there.
And two, you're playing. So when you're playing and you're resting your guys and everybody knows that we're not playing to win, we're playing to stay healthy, you know what sets in? Bad habits. And bad habits are hard to break. So that would be my key. So if I had to pick a lane, Mike, if I had to pick one lane, I'd pick, let's go for the number one seed.
Keep playing hard right to the end.
Right.
Don't worry about managing minutes, load management, all that kind of stuff. Just play it straight.
Yeah, and then you get your rest between games in the playoff run.
Well, that is a good point. You do make a very astute point that I don't think you were aware of. I think you just kind of stumbled into it, bull in a china shop. But the first round.
My dad used to say that to me.
The first round.
When you get mad.
Yeah.
Like the problem with you guys that are listening right now is most of you. Growing, like most of you younger generation, you didn't have to hold the flashlight for your dad. You want to talk about getting ridiculed? Put the light right here! What's wrong with it? Like, you didn't have to deal with that kind of...
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Bull in a china shop. My dad used to do that all the time.
But you are right.
You're like a bull in a china shop!
You get several days off before you even start the playoffs, and then there are more days off in between in the first round of the playoffs as compared to as you move deeper into the playoffs, so... You are correct on that front.
Of course I am.
Rockies lose to the Cubs 5-0. Rockies now 1-4, but good news, the Orioles won. That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the Denver sports scene. Coming up next, Mark and the Rusties. Boy, we've had some great rivalries in sports. Avalanche, Red Wings, Nuggets, Lakers, Mark against the Rusties. The latest chapter in the epic rivalry, next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
I know Is It Just Me Friday doesn't come up until, well, Friday, but is it just me? Mark Schlereth, Johnny Fever, Sid the Kid, Rogue. This whole... social media April Fool's thing.
Oh.
I'm so over it. So over it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's trying to be cute. Everyone's trying to do their little April Fool's stuff.
Right.
On Twitter. And I'm constantly like getting sucked in. Like, what? Oh, no, it's April Fool's. Like Ryan Spielberg's yesterday.
What did he do?
He threw out that Charlie Blackman had shaved.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, that one I saw through right away.
You knew that was fake.
But then I'll tell you what I fell for.
What?
Was George Carl saying that he and Carmelo Anthony had set up a meeting to hash things out. I fell for that one.
Yeah.
I did.
You're like, yes, you're hopeful. Like, hey, let's bury the hatchet.
Right.
Why do you bury hatchets anyhow? Like, what is the etymology of burying a hatchet?
I don't know. I could look it up, but I'll just ask our own personal Google. Our own personal text line, 303-713-1043.
Have you ever buried the hatchet?
I've never buried a hatchet. Me and somebody I argued with never got together and decided to bury a hatchet. I have no idea what it means. But yeah.
I would assume that it means, like, if you're using a hatchet, like you're chopping a person
up.
So
is it just me? Am I upset because so many people are using social media to try to...
Trick you
with lame April Fool's jokes, or is it because I'm falling for some of them?
Yeah, you're falling for lame April Fool's jokes.
Right?
Yeah, not hatchet people up, like, physically, but I'm, like, using that metaphorically.
You're talking and I hate you.
Yeah, you're not trying to hatchet people, but you know what I'm saying. Hatchet job. Kind of like what Mace did to me in this article.
Wow.
Hatchet job.
What was that all about?
I don't know.
What did you do to Mace?
I don't know.
You love Mace's numbers and everything like that.
I know, and then he used numbers against me.
He did.
Come on, man.
So, apparently he did not agree with Sean Payton coming out and saying the number one thing to fix on offense for next year is reducing the number of sacks. And then you, in talking about that, said that Stidham's sacks... weren't as bad as Russ's sacks because they were for limited yardage.
Well, I hadn't studied it. I hadn't looked at it, but I would assume.
Well, in the Mace article, he says Mark Schlereth suggested that more of Stidham's sacks were for limited yardage.
Right. Well, that was a speculative conversation off the cuff.
It's not speculative. The way he uses the word suggest means, like, that's more like,
but you remember,
that's your opinion.
But you remember the conversation.
I do remember the conversation.
We were just talking in generalities, and I go, I would suspect, because he plays more in the pocket, there were fewer yards, like, given up in sacks.
So you made the comment, quote, Mace has the quotes, Mace kept the receipts.
Right, but it's not in context.
And then... either made a play or scrambled, or if he did take a sack, it was limited yardage, you know, minus two or three or whatever. But then here comes the hit piece.
Yes.
Here comes the Grim Reaper. Mace, he says, but the data doesn't back up that assertion.
So, but here's
that actually, he took a full yard sack worse than Wilson.
Okay, so we're doing Telestrated Tuesday. In a little bit.
Yep, 25 minutes.
So the first sack of week 17, first sack of week 17, Mike, is the Broncos are in a third down and 20 situation. Third and 20. They drop seven and rush three. They run a little game. Khalil Mack runs over our left guard and puts our left guard in the lap of Stidham. Now, Stidham's got a shallow cross in front of him. He can hit it for about a 7-yard gain. What does that get you? Fourth down and
13.
Forever. So he's holding on to the ball. We give up a sack on a 3-man rush. 7 guys deep, all sitting at the sticks. Is that sack the same as not throwing a 3-step drop and scrambling out and taking a sack? And the answer is no, it's not even close to being the same thing. It's the game, the situation, what you're trying to do, and you're trying to push the ball down the field to convert on a third down and 20. And then you give up a game on a 3-man rush. So we're 5, because we're empty, we're 5-on-3, and we give up a sack. That is, that in my day, you get fined as an offensive lineman for giving up a sack on a 3-man rush. You'll get a fine. And again, that sack is not the same as not throwing a 3-step drop on first down and 10. and deciding to pull it and scramble around and see if you can make something better happen. If you don't understand protection, which Mace clearly doesn't understand, or not Mace, but people clearly don't understand, like those numbers that you put out there with zero context lie. They're not honest. But, you know, listen, we were having a conversation off the cuff without doing any research. It was a speculative conversation. And all sacks are not created equal.
Well, as they like to say, I'm only here for the comments. And the reaction to what Mace had to say, whew, the Rusties, man, they took that like raw meat thrown into the middle of the lion's den.
Right.
Here's one. I like this one. Schlereth is just the worst. He just gets on the radio and tells everyone how smart he is because he played football. It's just word vomit. Well, you did play football. So you did play offensive line in the NFL. You did play offensive football.
Right.
But, hey, I'll listen to the fans.
You will, you know.
I'll listen to the Rusties.
Yeah. Good idea.
I think this speaks to a whole larger argument that I still haven't gotten a suitable answer for.
Okay, what is
it? And that is the passion, the vigor in which people defend Russell Wilson. I just find myself having to ask the question, you did watch his first year here, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen such loyalty given to a guy who had the first year that he had here. And it's almost like it's forgotten.
Right.
It's like it never happened. And the only way he's judged is by the second year. And for a lot of people, he did nothing wrong his second year.
Right.
And that Sean Payton was just out to get him.
Yeah, it is.
You know, you do have to kind of take both years and kind of put it all together in the mix, you know, shouldn't you? But it seems like a lot of people just forgot about the first year. Blame the first year on Hackett. And yeah. I guess blame the second year on Sean.
Well, I mean,
and nobody blames Russ.
There's no other way to
interpret
right,
it.
There's zero holding him accountable for his shortcomings or his failures. And I think most people can't see, or most people refuse to see, you know, the issues that he does have. And they're blinded by 2013. And yeah, he went to 9 Pro Bowls. Yeah, he was outstanding. I think we probably haven't given Pete Carroll and his offensive staff enough credit for what they did and the design they had and the way they played defense.
Well, Mace, you did it, man. I never thought I'd see the day that Mark Schlereth is sitting over there looking like Kim Mulkey.
That's right.
Just a victim of a hit piece.
Victim of a hit piece.
An Andrew Mason hit piece.
Yeah.
I mean, that might be his first one.
He straight up went after me.
Congratulations, Mace. Your first hit piece.
No context.
Up next, more it's word
right
vomit.
For the Washington Post.
More word vomit from Mark Schlereth and what's trending next.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with what's trending right now.
Well, Deion Sanders is a man of his word. He said that Warren Sapp would be joining the staff. But the school said that no move had been made. Well, that changed as he is joining Deion's staff as a graduate assistant and that he has enrolled in continuing education classes at the school. Sapp introduced himself to the team as a senior quality control analyst. And then afterwards, Deion and Warren Sapp got together and alerted Boulder as to the things that Sapp likes to do.
The big fella needs activities, because that's who he is. We got to keep him busy. All right? He loves to golf.
Yes.
He loves to hunt.
Yes.
He loves to fish.
Ooh.
He loves outdoors.
I don't fly fish, but I'll do it.
When you fish.
I fly when I fish.
Okay. Yeah. But those three things. Right?
Yes, please.
How do you feel about Warren Sapp joining Deion's staff? Continues to have a heavy pro influence. I think that's now 10 10 coaches or 10, you know, whatever the titles may be, with guys with NFL experience.
Yeah, QB killer. Duke can rush the passer.
You went up against him, right?
Oh, yeah, a bunch.
How'd you do?
Crushed him.
Okay. Seriously, how'd you do?
Well, you ask Sapp. Sapp will tell you. Hey, Sapp was one of the best that's ever done it. He was great.
But played, not against you.
Well, he didn't get any sacks against me. But Sapp was a great one. Sapp will tell you.
We'll have to get him on.
Yeah, Sapp was, that guy was a nightmare now. An absolute nightmare. Now, I'm not saying I crushed him by any stretch of the imagination, but I played well against Sapp.
But I think this is a great move, because what is Deion selling? Deion's selling what every 18, 19, 20-year-old wants to hear. I'm gonna make you visible. You're gonna be out there on social media. You're gonna have a chance to build your brand. You're gonna have a chance to make money. And I'm gonna give you every opportunity to get to the next level of the NFL. And I got all these NFL guys
right
to help you do it. Smart.
Yeah. I inherited some bull junk and I'm gonna fix it.
Yeah. No, it is. I mean, it's smart. When you've got a Hall of Famer that is one of the best to ever do it, they can come in and help you at practice and mold you and give you some things to think about. And one of the things, Sapp was just phenomenal. His unbelievable hands. So, you know, just that work alone, it would be invaluable to a young pass rusher.
Now, that said, are we seeing a few cracks in what Deion's doing at CU? So the spring game last year, which was a massive hit, sold out on ESPN, one of only two games that ESPN broadcast.
Right.
This time, on April 27th, the spring game is going to be downgraded to the Pac-12 network. There is no more Pac-12. But yet the spring game is going to be on the Pac-12 network.
Is there still, there's still a Pac-12, it's a Pac-2 network.
I guess the Pac-12 network is still in place for a couple more months, I guess.
Well, did they
through the spring season, I guess.
Is Pac-12 still a thing? Did they bring other teams in?
Well, no, the Pac-12, no, there is no Pac-12 now. It's Pac-2.
I know, but they were talking about bringing in teams into the Pac-12.
To the best of my knowledge, unless something happened recently, they have not replaced the mass exodus out of the Pac-12. Johnny, can you confirm that? I do not believe there is a Pac-12 anymore.
Gosh.
So anyway, April 27th, 1 p.m. Tickets go on sale for students today, the general public tomorrow. And after the game, there'll be a Lil Wayne concert at the CU Event Center.
Why wouldn't there be?
So Deion's putting together the show, but it will not be on major TV.
Yeah.
Well, in case you missed it, since the Rockies are going nowhere, and we just cannot have another season, Mark and I are both big baseball fans, we cannot have another season without having a team to really root for, playing for something.
Correct.
So we have adopted a team. We've adopted the Baltimore Orioles, a team that just a couple years ago was in a sad state of disrepair, just like the Rockies. They were losing like 115 games. So we've adopted the Orioles, and the Orioles are making us look good.
Right side from Westberg. That ball driven deep. That ball at the wall. That ball is a game winner! Westberg with a wild, wild walk-off. Orioles win it 6-4.
That's all we do. Yeah.
Our team.
Follow winners.
Our team walked them off.
That's right.
Walked off the Royals.
Way to go, O's.
Yeah. Tell you what, the O's are strong.
What are they? 3-1?
3-1. What are we? I mean, we.
1-4. We are 3-1.
We're 3-1. The Rockies are 1-4.
The Rockies are 1-4. Listen, I'm sorry, folks. Don't get all upset, but we want to have a team that we can back.
Hey, we're only a game and a half behind the Yankees for first.
Exactly. Ooh, although, we got to do something about Rogue, because she's a Yankee fan.
Oh, Gotta bring her over. Yankees hat on.
Oh, yeah. It's disgusting.
You know what we do? We get a hold of Rogue's mom and have her sell all her Yankee stuff.
Yes.
At the garage sale.
Yes. That's just a good idea.
Yeah. Mama Rogue will just put all the Yankee stuff free. Take what you want.
She'll put it in the 10 cents pile.
Yeah, the 10 cents pile.
That's right.
Exactly.
Last. Well, I was wrong. So I remember I said yesterday that it seems like ESPN has kind of called off the dogs for the whole MVP thing.
Yes.
They have, except for one person. Care to guess who the one person at ESPN who's still trying to fight the good fight?
I'm going to say Stephen A.
Oh, you would be right. Stephen A. Smith's current MVP rankings. Number 5, mm-hmm. Giannis. Number 4, Anthony Edwards. Number 3, Jalen Brunson.
I like Brunson.
No Jason Tatum on the list?
No, he milk cartoned it here in Denver, and he's been excommunicated.
Number 2, Stephen A. Smith's current MVP rankings, Nikola Jokic.
Yeah.
And number 1, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
That's right. Ignorant.
Okay.
Those are fighting words.
He's not giving it up.
Mm-mm.
But seriously, he's the only one now. ESPN as a whole has given it up.
Right, they quit.
But
they gave up.
He's still going. Although, hey, Stephen A., here you go. Here's your guy's chance. Tonight, Philadelphia with the return of Joel Embiid. Looks like Embiid, 8 weeks instead of 4 for the knee surgery.
Right.
But got a lot of work in the weight room where he was proclaimed 100% in the weight room.
Yes.
A few weeks ago. Anyway, they get Philadelphia tonight and Boston tomorrow. Oklahoma City, back to back. So SGA?
On the road.
On the road.
Back to back on the road.
Hey, if you're an MVP.
Yeah, you got to win those games.
If you're an MVP, show us what you got over these next 2 days.
By the way, the move for CU from the Pac-12 to the Big 12 doesn't officially start till July 1st.
Yeah, because I think they have to get through the whole Pac-12 spring season.
Right.
There's all these spring sports going on, so the Pac-12 is still the Pac-12. But after that, the Pac-12's gone, right? Done. Disbanded.
Well, they have the two teams playing in 2024 and 2025.
So it's going to be the Pac-2.
Pac-2.
Or I think it's what, Oregon State and Washington State?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's it. So probably they'll keep it alive with the hopes that they'll be able to recruit new teams. You know, Mark, your dream of playing in the Pac-12 might happen. Idaho, Pac-12?
I think I'd rather be a dominant FCS program.
Don't want to make the
run
jump.
Run-of-the-mill Pac-12 program.
Coming up next, Telestrator Tuesday. Mark fights back against the hit piece job put together by Andrew Mason. The Revenge of Stink.
Yeah.
Next.
It's Telestrator Tuesday.
John Elway, that was a bootleg pass. We talked about the cross. And remember I said how they run those crosses on you? They run those crosses, and you jump up on those crosses, and they get that post in behind you.
Stink takes you into the classroom using the exclusive game film only the Broncos coaches have access to.
If you look at this play, what we're trying to get is a seal here and a seal here and try to run this play in the alley.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with Telestrator Tuesday.
Tell you about some of the moves that the Kansas City Chiefs are making in a second. But after the vicious hit piece at DenverFan.com, from vicious. Andrew Mason.
Vicious.
Man.
This is the Denver Sports on Denver Sports Crime.
This is Washington Post and Kim Mulkey. They got nothing on Mace.
I bet you the Washington Post has reached out to Mace.
Probably.
After they see this hit piece.
Yeah. So Mace.
This is sad.
So Mace, first of all, took exception apparently with Sean Payton saying that the number one thing that they have to fix offensively is less sacks next year, which was a thinly veiled shot at Russ. And then Mark followed up by suggesting that Stidham sacks were for less yardage. But Mace went and dug into the numbers, as only Mace can, and said, actually, Stidham's average yards per sack was actually 1 yard more than Russ's
right.
yards per sack. Which, and then also led to the Rusty saying, if you extrapolate the two games that...
Which is...
If you extrapolate the two games that Jarrett Stidham played and the sacks that he took, extrapolated them over the course of a full season, it would be more sacks than Russ took. So anyway, you went inside the film. What does Telestrator Tuesday, what does Telestrator say about the sacks that Jarrett Stidham took?
Yeah, if we extrapolated that, you know what? If my aunt had onions, she'd be my uncle. We extrapolate that. Let's just go ahead. Let me ask you this. Are the offenses that they what? Were the two offenses that they ran the same? You have no idea because you're rusty. But are the two offenses run the same? Did they run the same style of plays? Did they have the same number of dropback throws? Did they have the same number of 5-step and 7-step drops in the offense?
I would think so.
No.
No?
No.
Because you were running the same offense for Oh, so they changed the offense that they had been running for 15 games? They changed it in the final two games?
No, they just took what they could do and what Sean wants to do, and they implemented more of that than they would. You're not changing the offense, Mike. You're calling it different. You're calling some of the plays you've had in from the get-go. So Sean Payton's offense, it's not that he changed his offense for Russ. He eliminated a bunch of things that Russ didn't do well. All right, and they smalled up and simpled down. So was the offense a little bit more expansive? Probably. But the point being with this whole exercise is that in Stidham, if you average out or you look at the sacks that were given up in those two games, and you look at fault, because every sack is there's a responsibility assigned. You know, the Rusties are like, see, this is exactly like this is apples for apples. No, it's not. It's not apples for apples. Apples for them. By the way, you started your right tackle in that particular game against the Raiders. Do you know who your right tackle was?
Quinn Bailey.
No.
Excuse me. Cam Fleming.
It was Cam Fleming.
Yes.
Cam Fleming got beat like a drum against the Raiders. And, you know who he's playing against? Max Crosby. One of the best pass rushers in football. And Max ate his lunch. And so from the standpoint of who's responsible for the sacks, was it Jarrett Stidham just freelancing and not taking a throw? And, you know, like I mentioned earlier in this program, the first sack given up against the Chargers was a third down and 20 where the Chargers are playing the sticks and they gave it up to a three-man rush. And so you've got a shallow cross. You could throw the shallow cross. It'd be a 4-yard pass, and you might get 6 or 7 yards before it gets tackled. But you're holding onto the ball, trying to develop some routes down the football field on a third down and 20. So there's a difference in some of the plays that were called, some of the things that happened. And ultimately, I didn't see, and again, I just looked through every sack given up against the Raiders, every sack given up against the Chargers, and I didn't see a sack where I looked at Stidham and said, oh, he should have gotten rid of the ball there, or, oh, that wasn't it. Like, I saw it was the game against the Raiders was pathetic. The Raiders ate your lunch. And ultimately, there are a ton of open formations, a ton of, you know, let's try to push the ball down the field a little bit. So all sacks are not created equal, and the sample size that we got with Stidham was not a very good sample size. So, you know, you can say what you want. And, yeah, he took 5 sacks against the Raiders. But I don't think I would grade any of them where I was like, oh, yeah, that's Stidham, like turning down the slant to scramble around and take a sack. He was under duress pretty much the entirety of the game.
And here's the thing about sacks. And these numbers – I think for a lot of people, sometimes it's easy to just look at the numbers to make their case.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and the Rusties like to, well, I'll let the Rusties try to figure this one out, okay?
Yeah.
So your argument is that Russ, that the high number of sacks that occur with Russ is because he tends to run into them because of poor pocket presence, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Rusties would say, no, it's not his fault. It's a bad offensive line.
Correct.
Then explain this one to me. Russell Wilson in 2 years with Denver 55 and 45 sacks. Peyton Manning, in 3 years with the in his years with the Broncos, these are his sack numbers: 21, 18, 17, and 16.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Wilson up in the 40s and 50s. Peyton in the teens. Why? What's
Peyton,
the difference?
Because Peyton gets rid of the ball. Half of those sacks are self-sacks.
Mm-hmm.
But Peyton gets rid of the ball. Peyton throws the ball away. He doesn't sit there and take it. And he'll take that profit. But if you go back and look at Russ, again, you know, for the Rusties out there, I've had the conversation with multiple people in the Seattle Seahawks organization who said, and I quote, 35-40% of every sack given up over the course of his time there, between 30-40%, I think the number was around 35% of every sack given up was credited in that time to Russ. Not throwing the ball, scrambling around and taking a sack.
35 to 40 sacks more per season, Russell Wilson versus Peyton Manning. And Russell Wilson is the far more athletic, mobile quarterback.
But look at it.
So how else can you explain those numbers? How else can you explain that huge, huge gap in sacks? Other than you got a quarterback who doesn't feel comfortable in the pocket, doesn't like to stay in the pocket, and is looking for an excuse to leave the pocket. And that's why he gets sacked. How else to explain the numbers? Please, Rusties, give me an explanation. Yeah.
Well,
I can use for you.
You go all the way through. I mean, go to any year in his career in Seattle. He's consistently, he probably averages 45 sacks a year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Throughout his entire career.
These were his sack numbers in Seattle, starting as a rookie. 33, 44, 42, 45, 41, 43, 51, 48, 47, 33. His last year, and then first year here, 55, followed by 45.
His last year, he missed a bunch of games, right? He had that finger injury?
Well, he played in 14 of a possible, okay. I think, were they playing 17 by then?
Yeah.
So he missed like three games.
Okay.
So he would have been up around 40. He still would have probably been around 40 if he played a full season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are the numbers. So you explain that to me. And again, you got to look at it from... You got to look at it from Sean Payton's point of view. What does Sean Payton want to coach? What is he familiar with coaching? And he's familiar with a quarterback that stays in the pocket, that doesn't take a lot of sacks, doesn't run around. Drew Brees' sack totals, the most he was ever sacked in New Orleans was 37 times in a season. But for the most part, it was teens or
20s.
Low to mid 20s.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of quarterback he wants to coach. Russ isn't that kind of coach. Right. Sean's the guy in charge. Why is this so hard for some Rusties to understand?
Right. But the other thing is Stidham has no experience. So you would expect Stidham to take a couple of extra sacks simply because, I mean, he doesn't play. What has he started in his career? Three or four games total?
Yeah, four.
Four. I mean, he's just not. I'd like to take all the games that he played with the Raiders as well, and see what his sack totals were there. I mean, we're comparing again. This is an apples to oranges comparison because you're calling a game differently. You've got a quarterback with a different skill set. You're getting guys, you're trying to get more guys out in what we call scat protection. Do you know what scat protection means? Scat protection means your backs, your tight ends, aren't responsible for blitz or blitz pickup. So scat protection, anytime we get into a scat situation, it means all five guys that are eligible are out with zero responsibility. So you're running a lot more 5-0 protect, R5 against whoever you bring. And like I said, the two sacks against the Chargers, one was straight zero coverage, all-out blitz that he got sacked in, and the other was a three-man rush on third down and 20. Like, again, all sacks are not created equal, and everybody has every sack is graded on whose responsibility that is. And so sometimes it's your offensive tackle. Sometimes it's your guard or your center. Sometimes it's your quarterback. Sometimes it's your receiver. Sometimes your receiver is supposed to run a blitz side adjusted. He doesn't, and the quarterback's ready to throw it to him. And guess what happens? He has to take a sack. That's the receiver's fault. So there's a lot of things that go into that.
You two morons, I'm stuck on stupid. Get over it. Russ is gone. Why keep on talking about him? Move on, morons. This must be a rusty. Here's why we keep talking about it. Because there is a healthy amount of Broncos country out there who believes that Sean Payton is not the answer and that Russell Wilson was the answer and should still be here. And for those folks, they believe the Broncos are in the hands of the wrong guy. And so since Sean Payton is the guy in charge, Sean Payton is the guy that made this move, I think it's worth talking about because it gives us a better idea of who Sean is, what Sean wants, more importantly, what Sean doesn't want. And these are the ways you illustrate it. So, yeah, and let's not kid ourselves. As long as Russell Wilson is a starting quarterback in this league, the decision to move on from him and in so doing take on that massive cap hit is going to be a constant source of conversation around here.
Yeah, hey, listen, he's been, since we signed him, he's been a source of conversation since he played terribly in his first year. Did he improve last year? Yes, the numbers are definitely improved. But still, I mean, you look at kind of where we are as a franchise, until we solve the conundrum that is the lack of a quarterback in Denver, Colorado, that's still going to be something we talk about. We're going to talk about those coaches. We're going to talk about the failures of the coaches. We're going to talk about the failures of the quarterbacks that we have had here since Peyton Manning retired.
And oh, by the way, if Russell Wilson goes out and starts and lights it up in Pittsburgh and the Broncos continue to struggle under Sean, then it becomes even more
sure
of an issue.
Because then the Rusties will really come after us.
Well, they're coming after you. You're the one that's getting it.
But you notice how you are not only...
I'm not wedge driving here.
You're a wedge.
I wasn't the one that got brought up in the Andrew Mason's hit
you
piece.
You and I were having a conversation, and you're just like, well, you did this, and you did it. Like, you're not only wedge driving, but you're deflecting. You act like you had no part of the guy. Like, I just had this conversation by myself. Hey, you know what, Mark? What? You know, I was thinking about this. I was thinking about the fact that, you know, Stidham probably, even though I don't have any research and I'm just having a conversation with myself, even though I would imagine, I mean, I don't have any data on it, but I would imagine that Stidham took less sacks. You know, that sounds reasonable, Mark, but you know, I haven't studied it or looked at it or what the responsibility was, but Russ takes a lot of sacks where he decides to pull the ball. And you know, that's a great point, Mark. He does. You just act like I just had a conversation by myself. You were a part of that conversation.
Someone's getting a little scandalous. Someone's getting a little defensive
so
right now.
I need you to take some response. Just since you just keep pushing it on me.
Got a little high pitch
Am I, Rogue?
Whenever he gets a little high pitch, he's getting defensive.
Is Mike like not taking any responsibility for the conversation that we had and that the hit piece that Mace wrote and just conveniently left Mike out of the conversation?
I never try to pretend to be a football expert like you do.
He's definitely hanging you out to dry.
Yeah, pretend. Yeah, thank you, Ro. He is hanging me out to dry.
You're the football expert.
That's
you're
correct.
The one that played offensive line in the NFL for 13 years.
That is correct.
So if you're the one that's saying that the sack numbers are what they are, then this,
you should have
this is your
me.
Responsibility,
you
man.
You should have stopped me right there and said, no, I don't think you're right. But you didn't.
You're the expert. If I had challenged you, you would have said, well, I played the game. You didn't play the game. No, I wore the pads, and you didn't. So I never say that.
I never say that to you. I just say that to the people on X.